is Express FM.
Supported by Portsmouth College.
We are passionately Pompey.
Whipped in towards the near post. Headed from Naylor. And Tom Naylor scores the first goal of the Danny Cowley era.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
It's a club with unbelievable football traditions. A real football city. We feel really proud and privileged to be here.
Action and reaction.
We've all seen last minute runs. We have to keep the faith.
Time for a fresh start. I think we can do it.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
No one should ever step onto this island and control a game at Fratton Park. That's the philosophy that many Pompey fans want.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
There were two big points dropped at Gresty Road in midweek.
Full-time whistle goes. They've drawn a blank. It's finished 0-0.
The Blues were held to a goalless stalemate away to Crewe on Tuesday night, which has left them 11 points adrift off the top two with just six games to play. So the automatics may be a foregone conclusion, but Pompey are still in a good position to secure at least a playoff place come the end of the season in just 3 weeks' time. Later this evening, we'll focus our attention to the next game. Danny Cowley takes his side to Stadium MK in search of a first win in three, and he's been speaking about what's to come and the progress his side have made in such a short period of time.
We're still in our infancy in terms of us as a group. I think we're learning about each other all the time, and that's great, and that's why, you know, new relationships are always so enjoyable, aren't they?
As always, we'd love to hear the thoughts of you back home. How many points do you think the Blues will pick up from their final six matches? Is John Marquis a player short of confidence? And could this finally be the year that Pompey win a playoff game? We are here until 7 o'clock this evening, live on 93.7 FM, DAB Digital Radio, online and through your smart speaker. A very good evening and welcome to Express FM. You're listening to the Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Hour here on Express FM, driven to you this season by Stagecoach across the South. Head to stagecoachbus.com for more information regarding fares, timetables and the latest COVID guidelines. And please ensure that if you are travelling by public transport, it is for an essential reason and you are wearing a face covering throughout your journey. Coming up on tonight's programme, we've got the midweek ball draw at Crewe to pick apart, tomorrow's fixture between the Milton Keynes and the Blues at Stadium MK to preview, and we'll also talk a little bit about the Pompey women, who unfortunately had to recently surrender their place in this season's FA Cup. Andy Mitchmore and Ian Chiverton join me today to go through all of that and much more. And we also welcome you to get involved from back home too. Get in touch. It's 81400 on the text. Start your messages with the word Express. Email Pompey at expressfm.com. Tweet using at expressfm or visit facebook.com/Pompey Live. But above all of that, we're going to rewind back to Tuesday night. The Blues made the 430-mile round trip to Cheshire to take on recently promoted Crewe Alexandra.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
The Cowleys tasted defeat for the first time and they'll want to get things back on track with that promotion race just getting rather tight again at the weekend.
We are ready to get things underway. Harness on the right, infield to Marquis, nice interchange, good ball from Marquis to Harness on the right, looking for Williams in the middle, and a really, really important bit of defending from Luke Offord to put it behind for a Portsmouth corner. Goal whipped in towards the edge of the 6-yard box, Raggett's headed down, Marquis helps it across, Watmore cleared off the line, still there for Raggett, can Pompey get a shot away, it's going to be scrambled clear, and that's without doubt the closest either side have come, and Portsmouth could not convert. Daniels goes long, that's a lovely looking ball, but it's just going to be on Curtis, a bit of a mix-up at the back. Curtis is surely fouled by Willie Askelainen, and the referee will give the penalty.
And John Marquis has a chance to put Portsmouth ahead. Whistle goes, Marquis against Askelainen. Marquis steps up, and it's saved easily by Askelainen, going to his left. He doesn't even palm it out, he just grabs the ball to his stomach, and Marquis has missed a golden chance to give Portsmouth the lead. It's still 0-0. Full-time whistle goes. Darren Drysdale blows the whistle at Gresty Road. It's another point for Portsmouth, but it's two more drop as they look to try and secure themselves a place in the League One top six. They've drawn a blank. It's finished 0-0.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey live.
A 0-0 draw it was for both Pompey and Crewe in midweek then, a result which mirrored the scoreline the last time the two sides met at Gresty Road way back in 2016. That solitary point keeps the Blues in the top six, however dropping down from fifth to sixth, now 11 points behind Peterborough in second with just six games left. Stranger things have happened, but it does look as though Pompey are destined for nothing more than a playoff finish. Joining me this evening to talk about Tuesday night's stalemate, we have both Andy Mitchamore and Ian Chiverton over the line. First of all, a very good evening and welcome back to you, Andy. Great to hear from you, mate.
Hi, Jake. Yeah, thanks for having me on again. Nice to be here. Quite a lot has changed since last time I was on the show. So, yeah, very different vibes.
Plenty has changed, Andy. We'll get into the thick of it in just a few moments' time. But joining you tonight, we have Ian Chiverton. Chiv, thanks for calling in this evening. How have you been, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you. Thanks for having me back again.
No problem whatsoever. We'll start off with you then, Andy. A 0-0 draw at Crewe in midweek. It wasn't the greatest of spectacles now, was it? But looking at Pompey's overall performance in that game, frustrating, really, I think is probably the key word to describe that one. The Blues creating plenty of opportunities and finding some ways through a back four of Crewe who conceded six goals out of a weekend at home to Oxford. But if they held Pompey to nil... And like I say, Pompey created their chances, but just couldn't stick the ball into the back of the net.
Yeah, exactly. It was one of those games, wasn't it, where if you play it 10 times, I do think you're going to see a Pompey win probably 7 or 8 times out of the 10, but it just happened to not be on this occasion. And I mean, I think it says a lot that there's not been a huge overreaction to the result. It was obviously it comes down to very small margins and there were a lot of good points to take out of the game. But obviously, when you look back, you probably see it as 2 points dropped rather than one gained, although you never know, that could be a crucial point come the end of the year. So, yeah, a bit of positivity about it, I think, floating about.
And certainly, Chiv, as Andy's pointed out, definitely 2 points drop as opposed to a point gained. Certainly after, you know, the weekend's defeat at home to Burton Albion 2-1 at Fratton Park. It was a chance for Pompey to get back to winning ways. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. We had to settle for a point. But, you know, on the grand scheme of things, when you look at the form over the last six games under Danny and Nicocalli since they were appointed last month, six matches, four wins, a draw and a defeat, it's still been quite a fantastic turnaround. And, you know, those kind of results, you're going to get them. Sometimes it's not your day. You can't really fault the effort and, you know, the desire to want to get the win on Tuesday night, it just didn't happen.
No, it didn't. And I think if you look at the form table at the moment, I mean, in the first six games, we're third in the form table in the league. I mean, that's why I think there wasn't a massive overreaction after the result, because what more can you expect, you know? They've done really well since they've come in. They've turned us round. And, yeah, I agree, Tuesday was just one of those games. The game was pretty flat. Crewe were on massive damage limitation after the weekend. And I think I tweeted out, like, if you were expecting anything but a 0-0 draw, you haven't watched enough Pompey games, because I think we knew Crewe were going to just bank up. They were not very eager to come forward. And it was down to us to break them down. And, you know, especially when it got in the second half, we're thinking, you know, we're going to get one or two clear-cut chances and we're going to have to take them if we want all 3 points. And, well, Marquis got both chances and he didn't convert either, did he?
Marcus Deakins on the Facebook forum, messaging from Tuesday night. I don't think we got to read this out on Tuesday night, Marcus, so apologies for that one. I'll read it out now. He says, simply not good enough, needed a big response after Saturday and we did not deliver. Somehow failed to score against a side that shipped six goals at the weekend. Absolutely dreadful penalty from Marquis. Should have been sub straight after. Poor Alfie Stanley must be wondering what he's got to do to get a game. If we do end up getting promoted this season, we'll have to make a dramatic improvement or we will be straight back down. This side is nowhere near good enough or consistent enough for the championship, is the opinion of Marcus Deakins on Facebook there. And one more from Roger in Gosport on the text. He says, good evening, Jake. Another tough game, but I believe Pompey can open up their gameplay. They've got the talent and the gift to do so. I will always back Pompey. Keep the faith, Roger in Gosport on the text there. And a comment from Marcus in just before that, Andy, in terms of Pompey, their performance on Tuesday night. Yes, it was frustrating, really, really disappointing, in particular not to score the penalty. We'll come on to that in the next part of the show. We'll talk about John Marcus a little bit more as well. But in terms of the point made about Pompey not being good enough for the championship, what do you take on that one? Is that a bit of an overreaction, or are you genuinely getting the feeling that this squad really is not good enough to stay up in the second tier?
I mean, it's a problem that I'm happy to deal with once we get there, to be honest, rather than when we're sitting sixth in League One. But I think it's completely natural. We're a League One side, so we're going to have a League One squad. It'd be strange if we had a squad at the moment who were able to compete in the Championship. And we've heard Mark Catlin say before that your summer recruitment is entirely different if you win the playoffs or you go up automatically than it is if you've stayed in League One. So I don't think we can really expect this squad to be a championship standard at this point. And, you know, if it's a problem we have to deal with in September, then that means that things have gone pretty well between now and then. So I think it's a good problem to have if it's a problem we have to deal with.
Okay, then let's take a few moments away now to hear a little bit from Blues head coach Danny Cowley. He's been speaking to Ollie Marsh about Tuesday's game and what he took from his side's performance.
I think we always try to take learning from every game and from every performance. We've obviously left crew frustrated. I think we're frustrated because we had expected goals of over 2.5. We certainly had gone to Cresty Road, a possession-based team in crew. We've stopped them playing. They've probably kicked more direct balls than I've ever seen a crew team kick, and I think that's credit to the way that we pressed them from the front. And we also had nearly 70% possession, and we're just looking to try to speed our play up. Sometimes we're making too many passes in our own half, and we're not quite as purposeful as we would like to be, and we always want to get the control and the rhythm, but we want the rhythm to be a faster rhythm maybe than what it currently is at. And that's just work in progress, and we're making steps every day in terms of that. And then just in the final third, just to keep trying to build the relationships really between the players, keep trying to understand each other's movements to how we can then create the space and find the space and make the most of the space. And then from there, it's just the final execution of the assist and then the final action to score, and all areas that we're really working hard to try to develop.
Are you still at a stage now where with every game and with every training session, you're still learning more about your players?
Absolutely. You know, we're still in our infancy in terms of us as a group. I think we're learning about each other all the time, and that's great. And that's why, you know, new relationships are always so enjoyable, aren't they? And we've had a good day today. We've had a collective meeting. We've had different pathways in terms of our training. We've had some tactical work on the grass, and then we've had some departmental meetings as well. So it's been full on, but we've got to keep connecting the group, and we've got to keep trying to create learning hits within our working day to keep trying to align our faults. And like I said, you know, my best teams have always played with one collective brain.
You've mentioned before about when you find a team's biggest weakness, you can then find their biggest strength and vice versa. Russell Martin's got a very clearly defined way of playing. So what's MK Don's biggest strength and their biggest weakness?
Well, I think it's pretty clear to see that they're a possession-based team. They want to try to build their possession, and they like to try to get control in the game through possession. I think maybe the third best possession stat in Europe, but obviously it's only one side of the game and one aspect of the game. And, you know, for us, possession is important, but what's more important is that there's a purpose to our possession and there's a progressive nature towards our possession. But certainly they've got good control. Certainly they've got some really nice patterns. They've got some unique ideas, and it's a great game for us. It's one that we're really, really looking forward to. We see it as a huge challenge, and we're really looking forward to pitting our wits against a team that you rightly say has got a real clear identity.
And we'll hear more from Danny Cowley a little later on. And within that interview, Chiv, Danny Cowley, he talks about Pompey's style and their progressive nature to possession. And that's something we've seen a dramatic improvement on since him and his, you know, his brother, his assistant, Nicky Cowley, were appointed last month. The progressive nature to attacking teams, wanting to keep the ball, build up play with a high tempo. And that's something that has been a dramatic improvement. Would you go along with that?
Yeah, definitely. I think we're a lot quicker. We play the ball a lot quicker. Under Jacket, you very much felt like Jacket's tactics were, let's stay in the game till half time, you know, play safety first, see if we can grab a goal in the second half sort of thing. And with the Cowleys, I think it's completely different. You know, they're modern managers, they have different ways of thinking. You can definitely see what they're trying to do, but you know, it's quite a difficult job for them. They've got a squad assembled by Jacket, their Jacket players. Some of them will be able to adapt to the new faster play. Some of them aren't. And it's already obvious that there's a few players in the squad struggling to play at the pace that we want to. But, you know, it's all positive. We're looking a lot better than we were earlier in the season. I say it's big to last six games, even though we've stumbled a little bit. Over the last six games, we've seen a massive improvement. We always feel we're in the games and we're in them to win them. So, yeah, all positive.
Yeah. And he also speaks about wanting to speed but play up handy, take advantage of having those chances. And, you know, it was clear to see on Tuesday night, as we mentioned before, that we had plenty of those chances just wasted. So Tuesday night, not really a game of performance you can really point a finger at anyone. Not that you really want to single anyone out, really, but you know, the chances were there, the play was there, you saw the signs of improvement, you saw the potential within this team, the squad and Danny Cowley's tactics, but, you know, he has deployed over the five games prior to Tuesday night. It simply was just wasting those chances, and that's something that individually as a player, only you can sort out. That's nothing the manager can do. That's the players having to take a little bit of responsibility there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the performance, it was like, I don't know if you watched Chernobyl, it was kind of that 3.1, Rungan, not great, not terrible, kind of middle ground of, you know, it's hard to point any finger specifically at anything for me that happened during the game, but you're seeing improvements on a game-by-game basis in different parts of the team. So, I mean, even between Burton and Crewe, I thought that Raggett and Watmore looked a lot better against the high press against Crewe than they did against Burton, and that's maybe been not picked up on as much as it could have been because we didn't get the result or a winning result against Crewe, but there are improvements in every game. And at the end of the day, yeah, Danny Cowley can only do so much. And if, you know, if you're creating the chances that we did create, there's nothing that he can really do if the players he's been given as part of sort of what's left in the squad after Jacket has left are unable to convert those chances. The style of play is working. It is working. And it wasn't as efficient in the last game as it has been, but it is working over the course of most games.
Yeah. And overall, Chiv, you know, picking apart more from that interview with Danny Cowley, he says that we're making steps, which is true. Four wins, a draw and a defeat in six games. It was never going to happen overnight, but it's certainly been, you know, a lot better than what we were used to prior. I think it was 9 defeats in 14 from the last 14 games under Kenny Jacket. We slumped down from fourth down to 10th. We looked miles off the pace. But, you know, since Danny and Nicky have come in, it's been a vast improvement. A draw on Tuesday doesn't change that. It's not time for a meltdown. OK, the top two might seem a little bit distant now for Pompey, but it is what it is. We are destined probably for a top six finish. And as Andy said, with the tools that Danny and Nicky have got at their disposal, with what was happening at the club when they came in, that'd be some achievement.
Yeah, it would. And I think, you know, I'm pretty confident that we're on track for the playoffs. I think, you know, you want to talk about a bit later how many points we're going to need. I reckon probably around the 10 points is going to get us into the playoffs. And I think that, you know, we're well capable of doing that. That we were, just prior to Jacket leaving, you know, the club was just in an absolute mess on the field. I mean, the players' confidence was shot. The football was terrible. Jacket even looked shot. I mean, some of the stuff he was saying in interviews. And the Cowleys have come in. It's a massive breath of fresh air for everybody. And, you know, those four wins off the bounce straight as soon as they took over, you know, that's a, you know, perfect, isn't it? Absolute perfect start. Yes, we have stuttered in the last two games, but we were outplayed by a very well-drilled Burton side, and we just didn't convert our chances against Crewe, and it's simple as that. If we'd scored the penalty or Marquise had buried the header, we would have got 3 points.
Okay, it's time now to head into our first of two breaks here on the Football Hour this evening. And in the next part of the show, we'll hear the second half of that pre-match interview with Danny Cowley, who sees Pompey as the team to beat in League One right now.
We feel like we're the team that are making the most progress in the division in terms of our development. And sometimes, you know, after a long, hard season where teams have been together a long while, they almost get into this maybe maintenance period where they're just maintaining. Things maybe go a little bit stale. Where for us, it's new, it's fresh, and we're improving every day.
Stick around for the rest of his thoughts, as well as more from myself, Andy and Chiv, when the Football Hour returns here on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome to part two of tonight's Express FM Football Hour, brought to you by Stagecoach across for South Hampshire's fastest, cheapest and most reliable bus company. Let's head straight into the socials now, men, and take a look at what you're saying from back home. I believe Roger in Gosport has got back in touch. He says, "Hi again, Jake. I do believe Pompey are good enough to earn a place in the Championship, but obviously the owners will need to add Championship quality players. Never give up and keep the faith, Roger in Gosport," there on the text. And don't forget, if you'd like to get involved this evening, you still have plenty of time to do so before we leave you at 7. 81400 is the number to text, putting the word Express at the start of your messages, ending, of course, with your name. Otherwise, you can find us on Twitter at ExpressFM, on Facebook at facebook.com/PompeyLive, or you can send an email in to Pompey@ExpressFM.com. Welcoming back my two guests for tonight's show now. And Andy, we spoke before the break about the record under Cowley so far, now at the halfway stage of their initial 12-game contract. Six games, four wins, a defeat and a draw. How would you assess their work so far?
I'd have snapped the hand off for that if I was offered that when they took over. I think you mentioned there we were, in 10th when Kenny Jackett left.
Yeah.
Had just been outplayed by a League Two side who weren't even in good form. The trajectory was only going in one direction. And you have to give all the credit that's due that they've come in and changed things, because change isn't always good with a struggling squad. You've seen, Paul Cook's come in at Ipswich and they're really struggling, even though they've got the new manager effect. So yeah, absolutely credit where it's due there. And I mean, we're going to talk about how many points Pompey need to make the playoffs in the next six games. But if the next six follow the same pattern as the first six, then there's no way we won't end up in the playoffs, which is the goal that would have been put out in front of the Cowleys when they arrived. So you have to say they're on track to succeed.
And Chief, regardless of what happens in the next six games, if Pompey do make the playoffs, which of course we are hoping they do so, or if they do miss out on the final day, they get seventh or eighth, but the signs of improvement within this squad and the style of play is still present. Would you offer the Cowley brothers a new contract in the summer? Because they've come in on an initial contract until the end of the season. Fans are absolutely loving what's happening so far on the pitch, off the pitch, with their interviews, the way they are connecting to supporters, the way they are reshaping, the football side of things at Fratton Park and the training grounds and everything, completely rebuilding the structure. So, say, for example, Pompey were to miss out on the top six, would you still be confident in giving Danny and Nicky Cowley a new contract in the summer?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, most definitely. I think if you... if you've got any doubts about whether they should stay or not, you should think, okay, so what have they brought to the team so far and what more would you expect? So if you're going to get rid of them, what would you expect someone coming in to do better that they're not doing? There is literally nothing. What more do you want them to do? Like, they've got somebody else's squad at the end of the season. They're under massive pressure to try and get us in the playoffs, and they've completely turned the team around. So, they've done everything they can. They're very, very shrewd in the media. They know exactly what to say. But the big difference is, and I've tweeted about this a few times, the big difference is the stuff they're saying in the media about, wanting all local young kids to be wearing Pompey shirts and stuff. They obviously know what they need to say to get the fans on their side, but I genuinely believe they mean it. They're not just saying it. They genuinely mean that. They're very impressive characters. I'm sure we've all seen the YouTube videos on there. Tactic stuff. They're impressive characters, they're people who need to be invested in, and the Eisners like that sort of thing. They like investing in characters, and I think they're well worth backing next season, 100%.
Yeah, and they certainly fit the Pompey mould, don't they, Andy? This is something, that's been echoed on the Football Hour for the last two or three weeks, and it's true. It's something we can't stop talking about, because at the end of the day, there's not a whole lot else to talk about. They are doing a good job, a 0-0 draw on Tuesday. Not a lot of excitement to take from that. But in terms of the way they are connecting with supporters, as Chiv just mentioned, their ideas, their ambitions, what they're saying in the media, they get it. They get what Pompey are all about. So again, hypothetically, Pompey do miss out on the top six this season, or do get the top six but miss out in the playoffs, you'd still be very confident of giving them a summer transfer window, letting them rebuild the squad, because there will be players departing, there will be new faces coming in, and letting them have a chance to have their own crack, a fresh slate with their own team, completely start again. Because as Chiv said, otherwise you just got to get someone else in to do exactly the same thing anyway. So it just makes complete and utter sense to give these guys the job in the summer.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'd struggle to really add anything to what you've said there. I think his point that who you're going to bring in to tick each of these boxes better than they're already being ticked, I honestly don't know a name that I would throw out there, to be honest with you. So
I think that says it all, doesn't it?
No reason not to. Yeah, exactly. They've inherited a legacy, and they've already earned the right to sort of shape it a little bit more over summer. And this is what the Eisners buy into, and they're here to be part of a project. And that is, as we know, what the sort of the hierarchy at Portsmouth want to build. So why not? There's no reason not to, as far as I'm concerned.
Let's flash back to Tuesday night again a little bit, Chiv, and really the big talking point from that game, or a few talking points really, was all surrounding John Marquis, the return of a recognised striker in the Blues starting 11 after three games out. He was suspended. Of course, Jordy Huila and Ellis Harrison both out until the end of the season with, you know, really horrible injuries. So that leaves John Marquis as the only recognised striker. You've got Alfie Stanley, of course, coming up through his youth ranks. He was included on the bench, but, you know, wasn't able to get some minutes. But John Marquis returning, he came in, he provided that attacking option up top. You never like to single out players, and that's not exactly, you know, that's not what we're doing, but you can't hide away from the fact that missed a golden opportunity in the second half with a free header from about 6 yards out, missed a penalty. It's quite a limp attack from, you know, the 12-yard spot. It's about a player shot of confidence right now, because you can no longer really blame, you know, the start of play or, you know, the man management of, you know, of the man in the dugout. That has changed. So is it just a man shy of confidence?
Yeah, I think it's quite a lot of pressure on the guy, isn't it? Because we're obviously short of strikers and we're all waiting for him to come back. And then what are you expecting, to bag a hat-trick in his first game back? I mean, I don't think you'd expect that in normal times. But, you know, when actually, Jude, funny enough, before we'd got this show booked in, I was kind of looking back at some stuff on YouTube, and I noticed that at Doncaster he was either scored or was involved in an assist of a goal every 172 minutes, and at Pompey that's gone up to 216. So that's basically another half a game it takes him at Pompey to be involved in a goal. Now that's obviously a bit of a concern, but you've got to think, like, he's played all his career under Jacket, you know, and we weren't the most attacking side under him. And I also watched a video of all his goals of the last full season he played at Doncaster. And that's a really interesting watch, because the vast, vast majority of his goals at Doncaster were from 4 to 8 yards in a crowded box. And if you go back and watch that video, it's just incredible that. And if you think about the chances that he has here, he's often in the box on his own, doesn't have people around him. He's really good at finding a space in a crowded box and just smashing it in. And, you know, that's fine, you know, it's goal's a goal, isn't it? But if you look at the way especially Jacket played, like, we never did that. He's always sort of up front on his own, battling two defenders on his own. So perhaps under the Cowleys, you know, we'll be getting more players forward. You know, we know that that's how they like to play. And perhaps it will be different. Perhaps he, you know, some fans are calling for us to get rid of him, but I think he deserves another chance next season.
Yeah. Certainly a player who's got the capability of being revitalised. You know, we say giving the Cowleys a fresh summer, their own pre-season to work with the team, you know, behind closed doors, work on their tactics and a little bit more, you know, a bit more detail. Of course, they're coming in now. They're doing a great job on the training pitch from what we've heard and from what we've seen so far. But with games in between those training sessions, it can't be easy to implement fully what they're wanting to achieve, Andy. But John Marquis, as, you know, Chiv rightly, you know, mentioned there, is he someone you'd like to definitely keep at the club next season to work under the Cowley brothers, you know, again, have just a fresh start at Pompey?
Yeah, I mean, you'd say over the course of his career, he's shown himself to be a very potent League One striker who potentially hasn't had all the minutes that he'd want at a championship level to prove himself there. And I think he's looked most dangerous. For me, he's most dangerous playing, I mean, at Doncaster, he had Coppinger just behind him. At Pompey, he looked really good when he was playing alongside Harness in the front two. And it would be nice to see him get a run of games where, you know, he can get some momentum going, because it's all very easy for us to say, you know, he comes into the side, has a poor game, looks low on confidence, you know, he's had multiple injuries, a suspension. It's very difficult to just come into a side and hit the ground running. So I do, it would be nice to see a bit of loyalty there for me. And I think I might be in the minority on this in the fan base, but I would like to see some loyalty there and, you know, give him the opportunity as we move forward to prove himself.
Yeah. And one of the big stumbling blocks, as we, you know, we've spoken about in the last few minutes, Chiv, with John Marquis, is the fact that for the majority of the season, he has worked in a Kenny Jackett team, which many argue is not, you know, not suitable for his style of play and the way he works. You mentioned his record at Doncaster, phenomenal, one of the best strikers in the Football League when he was at Bukit Moat Stadium. But looking at his record so far this season for Pompey, 14 league goals and 16 overall if you include cup competitions too. Six games remaining, we could see that jump, you know, possibly up to 20 goals in the league for the season. That wouldn't be a bad return for a striker, would it? Especially considering the circumstances that we've spoken about. So certainly as someone who I think Pompey fans would like to see a little bit more out of, but in no way has he flopped at Pompey. In no way is he going to go down as a poor striker for the club. Just not quite getting the best out of him that we all know that he's got.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, let's say, I mean, when you talk about strikers, you have this, the 20 goal a season is kind of like the pinnacle for a top striker, isn't it? No matter what league they're in, if they get 20, you're like, yeah, they've done their job. But and he could achieve that, especially if we get in the playoffs. He may get that, he may not. But I don't think he's a flop for Pompey. I just think that maybe we're putting too higher expectations on the guy. You can't expect him to carry the whole team and score the goals. You know, we've got perfectly adequate goal scorers in the forward. You know, you look at Curtis, Harness and Williams. Have they pulled their weight scoring goals this season? Absolutely no, they have not. Like, we should be blaming them as much as we should Marquis. So, you know, we need to give the guy a chance. I reckon he's quite a confident character. You see some of his celebrations, a bit of a lad. You know, he clearly plays off confidence. Yeah. He needs to be given a chance to do that.
Chiv, Andy, thank you both very much. We'll come back to you in just a few moments' time. But we're going to hand you back now to Ollie Marsh. He caught up with Blues head coach Danny Cowley yesterday to look ahead to tomorrow's game with Milton Keynes.
Jack Watmore is someone who's garnered a lot of praise from supporters and from yourself. He's reached a real level of consistency now, hasn't he?
He has. I thought he was excellent on Tuesday. I'm always going to want more from all of my players. We're working hard with him to try to dictate the defensive line, trying to work hard with him to get 5% more out of all the players around him and show those real leadership skills that I know that he possesses, because he's got a great football brain. He's got ability to read the game really well, and we want him to share that and help others with that. So certainly there's some add-ons, but you know, he's a centre-half and I think he was involved in a big percentage of our expected goals and a lot of our good play. So no, he's done great. And the group collectively, really, there was a lot to like on Tuesday night. I thought one or two, just in terms of our mentality, just to stay positive in the moment and not to get frustrated too quickly and to see the best in each other. I think there's some add-ons there, but there will, you know, I'll only worry when there's nothing to add on, because I suppose then my job here will be done, and we're a long way from that.
Yeah, and going forward, having Marcus and Willow and John and Ronan, it was a stalemate on Tuesday, but you must feel that combination is going to yield goals for you.
Absolutely. I look at the front four. For me, they're as good a front four as there is in this division. They really excite me. I think, you know, we're working really hard to sync it all up, and we're working really hard to get them quicker ball more often, higher up the pitch in better areas. That's the things that we're working really, really hard on the training pitch to do, because we know that if we can get them quicker ball, we can get them the ball more often, we can get them in positions behind our opponent's midfield and defensive line, then good things will happen. And I've got huge faith in the front end of the pitch, and we're really excited moving forward. We're a team in progress. We feel like we're the team that are making the most progress in the division in terms of our development. And sometimes, you know, after a long, hard season where teams have been together a long while, they almost get into this maybe maintenance period where they're just maintaining. Things maybe go a little bit stale, where for us, it's new, it's fresh, and we're improving every day.
Just finally, any injury news for Saturday at all?
Not that I'm going to tell you guys. I think for us, we've naturally got a few aches and pains. That's to be expected. We didn't want to take Ben Close off on Tuesday because he was doing so well in the game, but he was fatiguing, and that's to be expected for Ben because Ben hasn't played as many games back-to-back as he would have liked this season. And when the boys haven't played the back-to-back games, sometimes when they do, they suffer more. But what was great for Ben is he looked tired in the Wigan game when we played Rochdale-Wigan in quick succession. His numbers were much better in the Crewe game after playing Burton and Crewe in quick succession. So you can see that the adaptation is taking place and that he's starting to cope with that. And yeah, naturally there's some boys that have got some bumps and bruises from a physical encounter against Crewe. But we're tough, we're focused, and we've got a group of players that are ready to put their body on the line for the team and most importantly, the football club.
The rest of that interview there with Danny Cowley previewing Pompey's trip to Stadium MK this weekend, and a bold claim, Andy, that Pompey have got the best front four in the league. And we've spoken previous about John Marquis and, you know, mentioned as well the players around him. We know the quality, but the boss wants more balls to them. He wants, you know, rather than a slow build up in Pompey's own half in recent games. Is this just a case of slowly eradicating the previous gaffer's ideas? Because we mentioned previously about how we've seen signs of a Danny Cowley team. We've seen what they've worked on in the training ground, and that's been implemented in periods of Pompey games over the last five or six matches. But in terms of what this team, what this squad is used to under the previous management, we are sometimes still seeing, you know, signs of that era on the pitch for Pompey. But are you confident that that will slowly eradicate into, you know, fully being Danny Cowley's team and Danny Cowley's tactics and formations?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the human brain can only take in a finite amount of information every day and in every training session. And if they turn up at day one and try and reinvent the wheel and, you know, go slap bang, new system, everything's, you know, rotating, we're not doing anything that you're used to doing anymore, then that first game is potentially going to be a complete train wreck. So you do have to change things slowly and in sort of sensible increments. Mm. And yeah, maybe it'll take till the end of the season. Maybe it'll take over summer and into 6 weeks of next season to really get their stamp on the side. But it is a slow and steady process. But what's important is that while that process is going on, they're given the time to do that without people, you know, jumping on their backs, which they're not at the moment, quite rightly. And they're given that time without any pressure because, yeah, change takes time. And Kenny Jackett had, what, four years at Portsmouth. And if they want to implement their ideas and completely reinvent the style of play, you can't change 4 years' worth of training in the space of 12 games. It's going to take longer than that.
Okay, it has just gone 20-7 now, so it's time to head off for our final break of the show. When we return in just a few moments' time, we'll take a closer look at this week's opponents with Connor Mosley, and we'll also go through your score predictions back home, as well as shining some light on the recent events involving the Pompey women. We'll get Chiff to fill us in with what's happening there. Keep your texts, tweets and emails coming into the panel this evening. We'd now like to know your score predictions ahead of Pompey's trip to Milton Keynes. Text your name and message starting with the word Express to 81400. Tweet using at ExpressFM, email Pompey at ExpressFM.com, or go to Facebook.com/PompeyLive. And join the three of us again very shortly for the conclusion of the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back for the final time tonight to be Football Hour on Express FM, supported this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Download their app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to plan your next ride and even pay for your next ticket as well. Still to come over the next 15 minutes or so, Andy Chiv and I will be taking a closer look at tomorrow's game, going through some score predictions and weighing up the points still available to Pompey from their remaining six league matches. But first, it's time to hand you over to Connor Mosley, who has a more in-depth look at tomorrow's opponent, MK.
The Blues have collected just a singular point from their previous two matches, and they'll be looking to return to winning ways this weekend at Stadium MK.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The opposition for match day 41 is Milton Keynes Dons, the youngest club in the Football League, form just under 17 years ago in 2004. Pompey have just 6 games of the season remaining to stay rooted in the top 6 of League One and secure that vital playoff spot. Let's take a closer look right now at the opponents.
Manager.
MK Dons are led in the dugout by former Wickham, Norwich and Rangers defender Russell Martin. The now 35-year-old made the switch to Buckinghamshire as a player in January 2019, with the club then in League Two, playing an important role in helping them to achieve automatic promotion on the final day of the season. In November of that same year, following the departure of Paul Tisdale from the dugout, Martin was appointed to take charge for what would transpire to be his maiden managerial position, very shortly announcing his retirement from the playing side of things. Since taking charge, Russell Martin has seen over 74 competitive matches, winning 27, thus a win percentage of 36.
One to watch.
Ethan Laird, currently on loan from Manchester United, is one to watch this weekend. The 19-year-old Basingstoke-born defender has been tipped to have a bright future ahead of him, rated very highly by those at Old Trafford, who decided to send him out on loan to pick up valuable professional experience after a period playing for the Red Devils reserves in the Premier League 2. This season, Laird has made 20 appearances for MK in League One and is enjoying what is being billed as his breakthrough season in the professional game.
Top scorer.
34-year-old forward Cameron Jerome is the club's leading scorer this season with 13 strikes from 34 League One appearances. The Huddersfield-born former Birmingham, Stoke and Norwich striker returned to England following his release from Turkish outfit Göztepe in October 2020, signing on at Milton Keynes on a free transfer to link up with former teammate and now boss Russell Martin. Jerome, who featured 10 times for the England under-21s without scoring, will be donning the number 35 shirt for those watching the game on iFollow.
Current form.
Russell Martin's side have suffered a slump in form in recent weeks, going 3 matches without a win and without scoring a goal, picking up just 1 point from a possible 9. Prior to that, MK claimed 4 straight victories, seeing off Accrington, Plymouth, Burton and Doncaster before being defeated by Crewe, drawing with Ipswich and being thumped by Lincoln in midweek. In the league, they sit 14th, having won 55 points from 41 matches, 15 points above the relegation zone and virtually safe, while 10 points off the top 6 with just 5 games remaining. Arguably, MK Dons have nothing to play for at this stage, which is something the Blues would hope to use to their advantage. Can Pompey return to winning ways, or will it be a third successive game without a victory for Danny Cowley's men? All of the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
Connor Mosley there with a closer look at Milton Keynes, where Pompey go to tomorrow, a 12:30 kickoff at Stadium MK. And looking at MK quickly then, Chiv, 14th from the table, 15 points above the drop zone, 10 points behind the playoffs with 5 games remaining. It'd be fair to say they no longer have anything to play for. Could this work in Pompey's favour?
Yeah, their season's definitely dead. There's no way they're making the playoffs. Well, it's a mixed bag, isn't it? I think there's no easy games. Old cliche there, but it can work in our favour in the fact that, you know, they're not battling relegation, so that's fine. They're not going to be fighting for their lives. They're not a playoff contender. So, yeah, they're just that mid-table team. So it's up to us to take the game to them.
Yeah, and they are a possession-based side, Andy's. We found out at Fratton Park in the reverse fixture earlier this season. It was a win for the Blues back in October. Again, could the way they play and the way Pompey set up under Cowley, as we spoke about in the previous two parts of tonight's show, could that also work in our favour?
Yeah, you'd certainly hope so. I mean, I think I'm pretty sure that Cameron Jerome is actually out injured for the game. I'm not 99% sure that he's not going to be fit. So that definitely works in our favour in terms of sort of a defensive line. But you'd say that centre of midfield, they're reasonably strong. They've got sort of Andrew Sermon, who's ex-Southampton, and Josh McEachran, who was at Brentford for a bit and did a good work there. So centre of midfield, they're pretty strong. But you'd say that Pompey are generally strongest when they exploit the wings, when our wide players play well. So, yeah, I think that this quick, sort of getting the ball forward quickly but efficiently system that the Cowleys have implemented could certainly work well against what's likely to be sort of a 3-5-2 kind of formation that we come up against.
Yeah, and a great stat here from Darren Rafan on Twitter. Excluding last season, the average amount needed over the previous 10 campaigns was 73 to reach the playoffs. The highest amount needed was 80 back in 2010. Oxford and Charlton both breathing down Pompey's necks, but our fate is still in our own hands. Whatever happens, though, we need to keep the Cowleys. It's the opinion of Darren Rafan on Twitter. And looking at the points that Pompey could get over the next six games, Chiv, there are six games remaining starting tomorrow with MK, half 12 kickoff at Stadium MK. And then the Blues go to Swindon Town on Tuesday night. They then host Bristol Rovers. They've then got three games remaining, away to Accrington, away to Wimbledon, and then back at Fratton Park against Accrington Stanley once more. So from them six games remaining, Chiv, 18 points available to the Blues. How many do you see, A, the Blues getting, and how many do you think the Pompey need to secure a top six finish?
Yeah, so you're talking now about the how many points we're going to need. I mean, last four seasons, what has it been? 73, 71, 73 and 74?
Yeah.
And we're on 65. So, you know, you'd like to think 10 to 12 points is going to be enough. The positive side of me says that we're definitely going to get that. I'd like to think we'll actually get a few more. I'm thinking my estimate is we'll probably get somewhere between 12 and 14 points in the remaining games.
Yeah.
And that should be enough to secure us either the first or second playoff spot.
And how about you, Andy? What are you going for? How many points do you think Pompey will get from those remaining six games? And same question again, how many do you think they will need to secure a playoff finish?
So, yeah, as you've just said, it's normally sort of 71, 74 between those that secures the playoff spot, but it's a little bit different this year because it's just so congested. So I'd imagine we'll need, you know, maybe another 10 points to take us on to 75. And I do think we'll get them. I mean, looking at the fixtures, there's none of those real sort of dead rubbers after the MK game, because we're coming up against a lot of teams who are fighting relegation. So sort of Swindon, the Gas and Wimbledon are all fighting for their lives. And obviously the doubleheader against Accrington Stanley. But I think we'll pick up, I'm going to say 13 out of 18. I'm going to be that optimistic and go sort of similar to Chiv, where we end up in that either the first or second playoff spot in the table at the end of the season.
Graham Wilkins on the emails. Hi, Jake. Hi, all. The fact that the Cowleys took this Pompey team on with a short deal only goes to show how dedicated they are, as other managers wouldn't touch the Blues without a long contract. So regardless of what happens this season, let's get them on a big deal. And I feel with their inspirational team talks and their general attitude to the club, we have a chance of going somewhere and flourishing. They'll have the fans back next season to roar on the Blues, and also the players are happy working with them. So with a few additional players of their choice, who knows what we're capable of doing next season. Graham Wilkins there on the emails, and Mike T in Crispy Bacon Sarnie Salcy. Hi, Jake, Wayne, the lads, with real momentum at Fratton Park. Pompey are grazing in pastures new under Danny Carley. Mike T in Crispy Bacon Sarnie Salcy. Very quickly then, Chiv, just want to highlight what's been going on with the Pompey women in the last 2 weeks. Of course, we spoke recently and we heard highlights, we heard interviews from their FA Cup second round tie with Cheltenham Town at Wesley Park. It was broadcast on YouTube. It's a fantastic opportunity for Blues fans to watch, you know, watch the girls play. It was a 2-0 win after extra time, but unfortunately they were removed from the competition due to fielding an ineligible player. Chiv, really unfortunate. Really, really unfortunate.
Yeah, really gutting. And, you know, I absolutely feel for the players and the manager. Jay Sadler, I know they were, well, I spoke to a couple of them and they were beyond distraught. They were absolutely distraught at what's happened. You know, there was a chance to play Gillingham at home, and Gillingham was being a good side. I was really confident we were going to beat them. And then we would have had Arsenal away. And that would have been just a matter, you know, Arsenal, one of the biggest women's teams in the country, maybe in the world. And, you know, that would have been a massive game for us. But, yeah, and I think that, you know, the club received quite a lot of stick for that. You know, it was an admin error by the club. We didn't realise that, you know, one of the players had played some minutes in a preliminary round. But to defend the club, you know, this was that game was 6 months ago. It was a pure admin error. I saw some people on Facebook calling for, you know, the people who made the mistake to leave the club. And I think that's completely ridiculous. If you ever go to Pompey Women, you will meet these people who do the admin and stuff. Mm. And you will not find a more dedicated set of people than they are. You know, they bleed Portsmouth Football Club. They sacrifice huge amounts of time every year voluntarily. They're not paid to do their job. You know, and a lot of the time they put their own money in as well to pay for things like the trophies that we give the players. You know, I give arranged trophies for the players. You know, that's paid for by me and someone at the club. You know, and these people, they do a lot for our club. And I think that we should bear that in mind before jumping to conclusions.
And just very quickly, before we do move on, Chiv, they have got a friendly coming up. Who's that against? Where's that?
Yeah, so this weekend we've got Ipswich, followed by game, you know, we've got quite a few games, but we're playing the likes of Arsenal under-21s, Watford, Wolves. And then there's a potential of the Hampshire Cup final, which has been postponed several times against them lot down the road, which will be a massive, massive game. So if you're going to come to a game, you'll want to get to that one because it will be huge.
Certainly looking forward to that one. Okay, we've got some score predictions to read out for Pompey's game against MK tomorrow. Graham Wilkins on my emails going for a 1-1 draw. He also says it's a crying shame that the Pompey women are no longer in the cup because he would have liked to see more of his goddaughter Freya Jones, who came on in extra time and looked a good future prospect, from Graham Wilkins on my emails. Robert Rudling on Twitter says we should strive for 18 points and accept what we achieve over the next six games. And Rudder and Gosport's going for a 3-0 victory for Pompey. Very, very quickly, Andy Mitchmore, your score prediction.
I'll make it very quick. 3-1 Pompey.
3-1 Pompey, says Andy. What about you, Chiv?
2-1 Pompey.
2-1 Pompey, says Chiv. Andy Mitchmore, Ian Chiverton, thank you both ever so much for joining me on the Football Hour this evening. It's been great to chat to you both, and I'm sure we'll hear from both of you very, very soon. OK, Blues fans, your next football fix is not far away at all. Pompey travel to Stadium MK tomorrow. It's a 12:30 kickoff, Pompey versus Milton Keynes, and all of the action will be live here on Express FM, and I follow Pompey.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Pompey squandered opportunities to claim victory at Crewe last time out, drawing 0-0 at Gresty Road. Coming up, the Blues travel to Stadium MK to take on Milton Keynes. Join us for all of the unmissable action this Saturday from 11:30. Is Pompey away to Milton Keynes right here on Pompey Live.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Join us for all of the unmissable action. Myself, Liam Howes and Ryan Stilwell live from Stadium MK as Pompey take on Milton Keynes in match day 41 of this Sky Bet League One season. It's a 12:30 kickoff and we'll be live from 11:30 here on Express FM and I follow Pompey. Every game tomorrow up and down the country has been moved to either an early or a late kickoff, so it does not clash with the funeral of the late His Royal Highness, Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. That funeral taking place at 3 p.m. tomorrow. Okay, coming up here on Express FM tonight, Connor Mosley is back after the news at 7 o'clock. He's got Express Floor Fillers playing the biggest tunes to get you ready for the upcoming weekend. And then from 11 through till 2 a.m, nothing but non-stop Express Floor Fillers. The biggest party tracks to kickstart your Friday night. Saturday Breakfast with Ian McGuinness. Don't miss that one tomorrow morning from 8. Ian is here with news, weather, travel, sport, 4 from 40 from 1984, a money-saving random top five and a movies update with John Brown between 8 and 11:30. And that is when, like I say, myself, Liam and Ryan are back for the next instalment of Pompey Action. The Blues take on Milton Keynes at Stadium MK. It's a 12:30 kickoff. We'll be live from 11:30. But until then, Pompey fans, thank you very much for tuning in tonight. Have a great weekend. Stay safe and play up Pompey. Good night.